Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
In association with Viatel Technology Group, IT leaders breathe easy with Viatel Managed Cybersecurity. Viatel.com.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome along to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, we'll find out what the EU's AI Act entails and just how long it'll be before it makes an impact. Tom Douglas is going to join me shortly with some photo editing tips for amateur photographers. And as ever, I'll answer your tech questions. You can get in touch at any stage. Email me techtalk@newstalk.com or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. But we're going to start this week with the story that has utterly fascinated me and so many other people around the world. And that is the Mother's Day photo issued by Prince William and his wife, Catherine. You probably know all of the details by now, but there were a few very odd edits within the photo that led to some news agencies calling for the image to be killed. It prompted oodles of conspiracy theories, which we could and probably will do an entire show on some at some point. But the aspect of the story that I want to focus in on today is the editing. Tom Douglas is with me now. Tom, how are you?
I'm good. I am fascinated by this story.
Every element of it is interesting. Obviously, because we're news journalists, there's the kill notice that was sent out by the news agencies.
It's so rare.
So rare.
So rare.
And particularly for something issued by the royal family or put out by the royal family. Like, I've been talking to a few different people who said that the relationship between the media and the royal family is very delicate because the royal family can just cut somebody off entirely if they don't want them to have access or approval or whatever it is. So that's pretty unheard of. The minute detail in which this photograph was dissected and analysed is something that you'd only normally see like in a Hollywood movie about conspiracy theories.
Or, yeah, from a world leader who is, let's say, known for dodgy practices, maybe. From like the picture of Stalin appeared, where various people just disappeared. And it was harder to do back then than it is these days.
Yeah.
But harder to do well. It's still pretty hard to do well by the looks of it.
Yeah.
Because, as you mentioned, the kill notice from the photo agencies, the main issue the photo agencies seemed to have was what was with Charlotte's hand. I think it was her left hand the issue is with, because they're facing us, so she's on the right-hand side of the photo, as you imagine it. Her wrist is kind of out of alignment with the rest of her arm, which is really jarring. But when you're editing a picture like this, it is common practice, particularly with kids, to burst and take 100 photos or 150 photos and take the best elements of each one. So like you might have your eyes closed, or like wedding photographers are listening to this thinking of the painstaking editing that goes into a group photo of 100 people, eyes closed, people are looking away, people might be looking at one another. You would take the best elements of each photo and kind of jigsaw puzzle them together, which it looks like somebody did. The tweet from Kate Middleton said she occasionally
as an amateur photographer, she likes to dabble with editing or something like that.
But it didn't explicitly say she edited that photo, which was interesting to me. Like I occasionally play with editing, doesn't tell me I edited that photo. Anyway, you would jigsaw puzzle bits and pieces together. So Charlotte's wrist looked off. There was bits of hair that occasionally looked off. Somebody spotted a zipper in Kate's hair.
Yeah.
It just didn't fit. So it was like as though, I'm surprised they didn't have somebody who was used to doing this, maybe a wedding photographer who's pro at this, to give it the once over at least.
But Tom, like my point with this is, I technically fall into the amateur photographer bracket because I go out and about with my phone and I take photographs and I like messing with them and I like playing with, you know, silly little things, whether it's dragging the brightness down as I'm taking the image or playing around with the magic eraser on Google Photos or, you know, putting filters on things or editing and tweaking and all the rest. But I've never shared a photograph that I've edited in which somebody's sleeve is completely blurred or
like, you kind of look at it and go, that doesn't look right.
It doesn't look right. And even, you know, there's photographs from the Radio Awards last year where I tried to move like a big bottle of wine from the background of a photograph, but it made the tablecloth look like it was disappearing. So I just put it up with the bottle of wine. I was like, you know what, I'd rather put up something with something ugly in the background rather than having something dodging. So regardless of whether you're a princess or you're an average person, like, a common sense kind of comes into it a little bit. And again, because the thing is, this woman has just had severe surgery. She's got a lot going on. I don't want to do the pile-on on her. I think the reaction to it has been bananas. But I also think it does draw up the question around photo editing. To me, it would almost be difficult to do that many bad edits in a photograph and put it out into the world. Than it would be to say, like, as you said, if one of the kids have their eyes closed, like, that's a normal thing that happens.
Yeah.
Why not just put that out into the world?
Yeah.
Like, why did you need to move a bit of fluff or whatever the reason was for the edit of the sleeve? I don't understand it.
Yeah, the palace obviously says she's recovering from surgery and we have to take them at their word. But the edits, they're so heavy and they're kind of, what's the word you would say, hack and slash edits almost. They're kind of unwieldy. They're a bit much. Like you said, like a mother and three relatively young kids, like it makes sense that one of them might be looking at something off in the distance or one of them could be pulling the other one's hair or, you know.
But they're all looking at the camera. And this is what I don't understand is that all of the edits that were done were pointless edits. And so, look, I can see why the conspiracy theorists have run with it because they're so bizarre. But anyway, let's not go down the rabbit hole because I think we'll end up here until God knows what time. But let's just talk through some of the techniques for when it comes to editing photographs. I now, my default when I take a picture, if I'm putting it up, I'm like so bad for the Magic Eraser. I love the Magic Eraser feature because I can just circle something. And
it does
remove
a great job, doesn't it?
It's so good. Now, it's good. I'd say 8 times out of 10, it's good.
Yeah, if you've got a, you know, you take a picture on the street for Paddy's Day, let's say, and there's a drain cover in front of you, you can just remove it. And because the AI can see, okay, this tarmac is quite a similar texture all the way across, it can just copy what it sees and fill in that piece of, I'll go back to the jigsaw analogy. But this photo, it seems, was edited in a version of Photoshop. At least it seems to my eye that doesn't have those AI features. It seems as though the EXIF data, which is exchangeable image file format data, which is the time, place, various different technical specifications that are kept within your photo. So if you've got an Android phone, open your gallery and swipe up and it will tell you this photo was taken by Tom Douglas in Marconi House on 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. That's the EXIF data, and the different cameras will keep different levels of data. So this camera was a 5D Mark IV, which is a €3,200 camera new.
Spenny.
It's an 8-year-old model, but it's still an absolutely phenomenal, like, you still have pros using this full time. And a 50mm, I believe it was a 1.2, which is again a really spenny lens. The settings contained within the EXIF data that were seen by Sky News show it was 125th of a second at f3.2 and ISO 640. So 125th of a second strikes me as quite slow for people. The photo we saw wasn't middle of the summer. There wasn't that much light available. So maybe that's why that shutter speed was chosen. It just strikes me as quite slow because you can introduce a bit of motion blur.
Yeah.
If someone's hand is moving or if somebody turns their head quickly or if someone's hair is caught in the wind.
Yeah, if you're outside. Like, yeah,
it can introduce a bit of motion blur. I would have doubled or tripled that to freeze the action. Faster shutter speed opens the sensor to exposure for a less amount of time, which means you are snapping that moment and you're not giving it an opportunity. You're not giving the environment an opportunity to introduce blur. It just struck me as a bit odd. F3.2 is fine. They're all kind of on a similar plane with one another, so you don't need the depth of field to be too deep. ISO 640, again, it was pretty overcast. That makes sense. So in that case, you're kind of jigsaw puzzling edits. So let's say my jumper, I have a red jumper on me now, and it's quite similar, the texture all the way down. There's no real pattern on it. If there is a bit of fluff on my sleeve, you could take another part of my sleeve that looks similar and transplant, copy and paste almost it onto the bit of fluff.
Yeah.
So it
masks it.
Masks it, exactly. That's a kind of recognised technique.
Yep.
And it just seems as though in this case it was done quite poorly.
But that's what I find fascinating, because I suppose I don't know Photoshop, right? I've messed around with it, but I'm not great on it. I've used Canva a bit. I've used, like back in the day, I would use things like Pixabay and that kind of stuff. But for the most part, any editing that I would do on my photographs, I just do in Google Photos, and I'd use whatever facilities are within that app. I have an iPhone, but I use the Google Photos app because I think it works really, really well. So, like, just talk me through. You take this photograph.
Yeah.
It's on your SD card or whatever it is. You hook it up, you put it into your computer, you're opening Photoshop.
Yeah.
Like, the edits, to my untrained eye, they did look like Magic Eraser used badly.
They did. It just, there was parts of it that just came out a bit blurry or a little bit, I don't know. Have you seen the Magic Eraser style edits where, like, let's go back to the drain cover on the ground, and it just looks a little bit smudged.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It doesn't quite fit with the... Now, in Photoshop, you can refresh. You can tell it, I want a different version of this edit with the AI features.
Okay.
I want, like, that's not what I wanted. I want a different version. You can press refresh and it will run whatever model it runs again. But sometimes, like you said, it just looks a little bit...
Janky.
And when you're doing it with people, you're... viewer is going to notice it even more. Like if I did a janky edit to a fence in the background of a portrait of me, you might not even see it, because you're looking at the subject of the photo, which in this case was Kate and her kids. So you're going to see Charlotte's wrist, you're going to see the hair, because you're looking at faces, and we as humans are so used to looking at faces, so used to looking at hands. That's like AI gets hands wrong, and you show somebody a bad AI hand and they're going to spot it straight away because they know exactly what they're looking at.
Yeah.
But you show somebody a bad, like you could show me a bad plumbing job done by AI and I wouldn't have a clue what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
It would take a trained eye to see it.
Yeah.
So everybody can see these terrible edits that are done by AI with hands or whatever. These ones with the Kate Middleton photo were a little bit more subtle in most places. The wrist was the most jarring one, but you just see them.
Okay, so if people want tips, and if they are amateur photographers or hobbyists, what are the do's and don'ts? And we'll rattle through these, and maybe we'll keep it between free software and then the Notion software.
Okay, the Notion software. Adobe, are you listening?
Correct.
Free software. I have the Samsung S24 Ultra. I went and picked it up after we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago. The editing features, they're quite simple compared to the Notion software, but they do the job. You know, you want to brighten a photo very slightly, you want to increase the contrast very slightly, you want to boost certain colours, you want to, I don't know, recenter it if you've taken the photo at a funny angle. You can use the horizon feature. Like, they're all quite simple, but they're all quite effective. I would say if you're editing something, don't go too heavy, because it can be spotted a mile away. You want to get the photo right in camera, so your edits are quite light, almost. It could be like, if you have a nice, imagine I have a nice big spot on the end of my nose, you could quite easily remove that because it's only a tiny little edit. And people who know me will know it's edited. Mom will say, what are you doing? Anyway, I keep them quite light. We'll go to the Notion software. If you want to learn Photoshop, the best thing you can do is go on YouTube.
Yeah.
Everything you want to do, every concept you could ever think of, someone has done or made a tutorial of, or somebody has said, this is how you might have to watch 15 minutes of preamble, but you'll get there eventually. They'll teach you how to use the individual tools. They'll teach you how best to use those tools within certain parameters. Like, Photoshop is, it's crazy. You can almost build like a tree of, let's say, spot heel tool, and then you've got hardness. How hard do you want it to be? And do you want it to feather with the surrounding parts of the photo? So do you want it to blend? They use the word feather. Do you want it to be on a new layer? Do you want to use the same layer? You know, do you want to create a layer to play around with and go, okay, I didn't like that, and we'll go back to the first layer because that's not the one that is edited. We'll go back and try again. Like, it just branches out until kingdom come, really.
The thing that I've noticed over the last few while, and we've had a few conversations now, like we had a conversation a few months ago about the ethics around using AI to edit your images. I actually find it increasingly difficult to do a bad edit of a photo.
Mm.
Because, and again, that's just using the free software that's in the Google Photos thing, because you can see straight away if like Magic Eraser or the Blur tool or something like that, if it doesn't look natural, you just press the back arrow and it's undone and you get over yourself and that's it.
Mm.
So I think we're in a good position in today's age. And I know people will text in saying you shouldn't feel the need to edit your photographs, but look, we all need a hobby. I do think we're in a good position to be able to edit your photographs without making it look completely saturated or making the colours look weird or, you know, doing bad Photoshops that we've had for years. Like, do you remember a few years ago, the influencers who were like editing their bodies within an inch of their lives?
Yeah. I remember seagulls appearing in scenes that didn't quite fit.
Yeah. But like, I think we're in a good position now, aren't we, in terms of what software is available, depending on your skill level, your interest level and your financial situation.
Yeah, to go back to the ethics, it does leave a bad taste in your mouth as well, looking at elections coming up here, elections coming up in the UK, elections coming up in the US. But the European Parliament actually this week moved forward on rules around AI.
We're going to talk about it after the break. You worry. This is the whole point, though, because now, like, we're going to ask if it's coming in fast enough. But this is a huge issue because not only in terms of elections, but if you look at the celebrity culture that we're all living in 24/7, like, I'm at the stage now where I don't really trust anything that I see online anymore because it's just so hard to tell if something's authentic or not.
Yeah, it is. It's impossible.
And it actually made me happy to see the kill notice from the news agencies to bring it full circle, because I thought they're actually looking for stuff like this and it can be caught out.
Yeah. And just to put emphasis on it, a kill notice is an extraordinarily rare occurrence in newswire kind of output. It means something is catastrophically wrong with the output, so it must be removed. Now, obviously, that sparks the photo going even wider than it would have. I hadn't seen the photo until the kill notice was issued. Kind of did the opposite effect. But yeah, it's so rare that an issue like that comes up, that a kill notice is issued for it.
Yeah. I would love to know what you'd think, not only about the photograph, but also, are there editing tools? Do you bother editing your photos? You can email me techtalk@newstalk.com. Tom Douglas, thank you so much.
Thank you.